Have you ever been served court papers?
No.
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 That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Because normally they just, you know, they'll find you at work or at your house or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Dr. Dre was served with divorce papers at his grandmother's funeral.
Ooh, good timing.
Well, you're trying to track the person down.
Right.
And this is, you know, you know he's going to be there.
Yeah.
It's in the paper. It's like, okay, now I got him. Right? Because just think about trying to serve this guy papers.
Yeah, where is he?
Go to his giant office building.
Yep. You'll never
see
him.
Yeah, sorry, he's not here. Ah, his car's in his spot with his name on it. Isn't he Dr. Dre? Here's the spot.
He left it here.
Yeah.
For months.
Sorry, haven't seen him.
Nope.
Okay. You go to his mansion.
Which one?
Exactly, right? Yeah. Right.
All of them.
So the process server shows up at the grandmother's funeral, and there he is, Dr. Dre. Dr. Dre reportedly was so upset that he would not take the court papers in his hands, forcing the process server to drop the documents either by the gravesite or on the parking lot, according to conflicting sources. Maybe a copy over here and a copy over there.
Exactly.
TMZ reports that the documents ordered Dre to pay a balance of $1,224,567 for Young's attorney's fees.
That's nothing.
Whew.
For him?
For an attorney's fee.
Right.
That's not even all the other stuff.
I mean, it's worth $800 million or something like that, right?
He reportedly only paid $325,000 in change of the $1.5 million.
No.
Norm Pattis is on. That seems like a lot of money for legal services, no?
Oh, I think that sounds like a bargain.
Really? Yeah, Norm's ready to jump on the case, too.
I'm teasing. I aspire to fees such as that. Well, I mean, you know, it depends on how much work there was done, and I don't know the exact status of the proceedings, but I had a case once where a fellow had assets all over the world. He's very, very wealthy, and his wife chased him. He filed for divorce in a rural Florida county, hoping that he'd get a sleepy judge and the ability to kind of get this done in a hurry. She hired a shark from Palm Springs who dealt with high-end divorces and chased his assets around the world and was able to persuade a judge that he had hidden tens of millions of dollars around the world. And they got an order for a couple million dollars of discovery-related attorney's fees before they even got to trial.
So the couple million was just to try to find and track down this money?
Correct, right.
Yeah. Damn.
I mean, you know, my advice to people when you're in a legal fight, you know, comply with the rules, keep your legal expenses to a minimum, get the case to trial, and avoid the preliminaries, because the preliminaries can add up in a hurry, you know. Yeah.
Have you ever had to have someone served with papers in an unusual place or heard of something like that?
Well, it's funny. I'm in trial in south of Philadelphia right now. You know, I'll be heading to court after this call, and we had a witness who was reluctant. And he didn't want to come out of his house. Now, to serve a subpoena, to serve a complaint, you can do what's called abode service. You can drop a complaint at the place where the person normally lives, and that will satisfy the service requirements. There are people, but for a subpoena, that is an order compelling a person or ordering a person to appear at a given date and time in a courthouse proceeding, must be in hand. So there's a certain witness. He was reluctant. He didn't want to come out of the house, and we needed him. So we had a retired FBI agent who basically camped out outside the guy's house. And then if you want to show that a witness is willfully missing, you can sometimes get permission to argue a missing witness and an adverse inference from it. So our retired agent, put one of those outdoor cameras on his mailbox so that we could record what he was doing. The guy got a little torqued off one day, and he stuck his head out his window to see what was going on, and the agent just happened to be there, and as the head was out the window, he put the papers in the window and said, "You are served."
Nice.
So, you know, these things happen. You know, these things happen. It, you know, these things happen. You know, people, you know, court is an ugly place. People aren't lining up to say, "Ooh, let's go have a bad day." But lawful process requires notice to the person receiving it. And the requirements for what is notice, you know, differ. Now, I was listening to the story you told about the fellow served at his grandmother's. That strikes me as altogether unnecessary. If it was the complaint that was being served, a bode service would have worked just as well. If it was a subpoena and he was dodging the process server, well, then he kind of brought it on himself. There is a phenomenon known as spite service, however, and in neighbor disputes, for example, when people are really pissed off at one another, marshals will sometimes be told, you know, I want you to serve that complaint Thanksgiving at 2 p.m. or, you know, I want you to serve that complaint Christmas morning. And these things happen. These things happen.
That's funny. Imagine being like in a bathroom stall. Hey, you got any toilet paper over there? Yeah, here you go.
Right.
You've been served.
Look at that. Yeah, wipe with this.
Yeah, read my name. You know, no, I mean, it's ugly stuff. You know, it's ugly stuff.
Who serves those papers? Is that a marshal or a sheriff?
It depends. It has to be. It depends on the jurisdiction. In Connecticut, for example, in state proceedings, marshals serve them.
Uh-huh.
In federal proceedings, it has to be an indifferent person. So I can't have a person from my office serve, because presumably the people in my office want to make sure I'm satisfied, and they might be inclined to bend the truth on service. The problem is, you know, if a person is served with a subpoena or a summons to appear in court, and they choose not to appear, with respect to the subpoena, you can get what's called a capias warrant for their arrest. And go
this
out
is
and
over my head.
Yeah, really.
I'll never need to know this.
It's like stereo instructions.
Well, I have had to know it. You know, I had a case years ago involving police misconduct in Bridgeport, and I needed a certain witness, and I had him served, and he didn't show up. And so I had the marshals go out and get him and pick him up in chains. So we're waiting around in court one day, and you hear the rattling, and it's not Father Time wandering in or the Ghost of Christmas Past with his Joe Blow. So they pop the chains off. He gets on the stand, and he tells us what he has to tell him. And I leave court at the end of the day, and he's outside waiting for me.
Oh, boy.
And he says, you know, thanks a lot, you know, Joe Blow. So he didn't say Joe Blow.
Right.
And I don't
want like it.
Kill switch this morning. He said, now, how about a ride home? And I said, how about you walk home? I had to pay for the capias, you know, the marshal to get you capias. So he wasn't too happy with
nice.
Me. But the funniest story involving service and process and a capias, I had a case years ago, and we needed a woman to testify. She was in Springfield, Massachusetts. It was a federal case, so our subpoena, I can't remember, there's a radius from the courthouse that a subpoena is good and it can cross state lines. The witness's testimony was absolutely critical. She doesn't show up. I do a capias. The marshals go out to her home. They can't find her. We adjourn the trial for one day for the marshals to
look.
So
you have all this, all these people are in the courtroom, and you're waiting for this person so you can get them on the stand and get some information.
Yeah, well,
and then everyone's there, and she doesn't show.
But listen, this woman did. So the judge is getting ready to move on, and in walks the woman. And so
right
out
of a TV show.
Nice.
No, you listen, this is the most, this might be the most amazing thing I ever saw in court. She gets on the witness stand and the judge is reaming her out. Did you know you had a subpoena? Yes. Did you know you were obliged to come to court? Yes. Did you know the marshals were looking for you? Yes. And you avoided this and you didn't? Yes. And then she starts to cry. She said, Judge, the morning before I was supposed to come to court, I went into the bathroom and my daughter, I didn't know she was pregnant. She miscarried into the bathroom and I took her to the hospital. And I'm like, OMG, you know, this is horrible.
Yeah.
This ought to excuse it. The judge says, that's no excuse for ignoring a subpoena.
Oh.
I agreed to represent her thereafter in contempt proceedings, and the judge never ruled, that he was furious with her.
Wow.
And of course, I'm thinking, gosh almighty, you know, for all I know, but this is, I forgot the best part. She says, and this is, there's a transcript to this effect. This was on a hot June day. The judge was incredulous with her. She says, I knew you wouldn't believe me, so I brought the fetus. It's in my car.
Oh, no. Stop it.
No.
Stop it.
Oh,
stop
hell
it.
No. Oh, hell no.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
The case involved a man named Stephen Molsky. I'm not going to name the judge because he's still on the bench, but it happened. And at that moment, I almost fell over because there were federal prosecutors in the room, and I thought, for all I know, it's a federal offense to transship body parts across state lines, and this person just implicated himself in that on top of everything else. So, you know, going to court is always interesting. You never know what each day will bring.
Yeah, and no lunch was eaten that day.
I had a feeling when I told this Dr. Dre getting served at his grandmother's funeral story that you would have something better.
You'd top it, yep.
I could not have imagined this level.
I'm thinking a pizza box, pizza delivery, well, papers in there.
I
heard
all
you know?
About it until I was telling the story, and then I even forgot the punchline. That to me is the most amazing thing, one of the most amazing things I'd ever seen in a court. I suspect I'll go many more years and not see anything quite like that.
Wow, that's insane. That's insane.
Okay, you win.
So did she eventually get on the stand and answer questions?
Yeah, we had a hearing while the jury was out, and the judge repeated basically her testimony. And then the judge reserved decision. We got a verdict, and a decision was never made, which I think was the Solomonic thing to do. I mean, you know, what could you do under those circumstances? I mean, it was so extraordinary.
Wow.
I mean, I can certainly understand the courts wanting to assure that people comply with court orders, but sometimes life just happens, and she shouldn't have been held in contempt. And the poor woman was terrified. I mean, so terrified that she brought a fetus with her in the car.
That almost seems like borderline. We need to get her in front of a doctor and see how her mental state is.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there was that, but I think, you know, court is cruel, too. I mean, she served her purpose and was sent on her way to cope with the shards of her life, you know?
Yeah. All right, Norm. Thank you. We're not going to get a better story than that, but we're going to offer Steely Dan tickets. Everyone will be in.
Did I win the Steely Dan tickets?
you know what?
You could, actually.
You would.
Yeah.
You would if you were in Connecticut.
You will.
All right. Thank you. Norm Pattis.